welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So this morning is our summit offering, and as I've been saying, this is the last time we're going to do it in exactly this way. I'm not saying it's the last time you'll ever see any of these pictures, and I haven't used this presentation for a little while, which is one that we've used for the summit offering. In fact, it was used first in 2008. And at some point it got updated and made 16:9, because in those days it was on a 4:3 projector. And the pictures have been updated throughout the years, and sort of more modern pictures in. Although this time I deliberately only changed two. I left some of the older ones there. But the text is essentially the same as it was back in 2008. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because we're trying to live what God has given to us. And recently we did the those purpose cards. They're still here in my bag. I'm going to put them up, or ask Josh probably, to put them up. to put them up on the black screen over there so that you can all get to read them. But as you know, I was excited with these, because so much of what's in these, what people believe that God was saying to them about what God is doing here, what the purpose of this congregation is, just matches up so much with what we've always believed God is saying. And I know that's what should happen, but it's really exciting when you actually see it. And we'll do more of this kind of thing, and we'll be doing more of that with the summit offering. But this morning I thought, well, it'd be really good to go back and just look again at what God is doing with us, what God has done with us. And some of this is perhaps out of date, perhaps some of it isn't out of date, but it's essential to look back at, well, what's the foundations of what God was doing amongst us? You know, I looked at some of it and thought, well, I'd probably change the wording maybe slightly nowadays, but I don't want to change it. I'm not saying it will never change, because God develops and changes, but I don't want to change it at the moment, because it's kind of, this is our history. And as we think this morning, well, what are we giving into? You know, because you talk about the summit, it sounds like you're giving into a building. We're not giving into the building, we're giving into the vision of what God has done. And we're much bigger than one building, you know, but this particular offering does focus. Back, of course, in 2008, we were meeting in a small room above the library. We started up there in 2007, a group of about 40 of us, and God's done great things. But we put together this plan for this building that we would have in the town centre that would be a place to belong. Come on, yes. Or a place to belong to, sometimes it's expressed. And that's what we really wanted, a place where people could belong and feel part of something and be part of a community, part of a family, and be welcomed unconditionally. That was really there from the beginning, that we would be a people that would welcome anyone of whatever background, whatever beliefs, whatever diversity. They're welcome to come and just share what we have. And so that's where it all began. That's an aerial picture of Scarborough at night, if you're wondering. But the other key thing that came right at the beginning, of course, was this short version of the vision, Dare to Dream. And that's been there really all along, because it's not about this big corporate business with this big corporate vision. It's about enabling individuals to dream again, you know, and to achieve the dreams that they have. Now, what we hope, what we expect, what we believe is those dreams are God-given, because God does love to, he loves to give us the desires of our heart. Obviously not the selfish, cruel, wicked ones that might happen to come along, but it's about fulfilling the things that are going to bring joy, bring life, and also happiness. You know, sometimes we just forget happiness in the extent of everything we're going to do. God does want his people to be happy. The Sermon on the Mount, which is really the sermon that Jesus preached that we've got recorded, is famous for saying, blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the, blessed are the. But really, a perfectly valid way to write that would be, happy are the, happy are the. So don't you think it's amazing that the only real full sermon that we have of Jesus Christ is talking about people being happy? How often do we get away from that? It's amazing, isn't it? I'm not saying there's not suffering. I'm not saying there's not hardship. I'm not saying we don't go through stuff. Of course we do. But the core of that is having somebody with you who is enabling you and strengthening you, that gives you the courage to face all that. Yeah. so that you can be happy. You know, we're not going to be happy 24/7. Sorry if that's news to you. But we're not. We are an emotional people. We are affected by what's going on around us, and quite rightly so. We're not supposed to bury the emotions. We're supposed to acknowledge them and use them to fuel what we are. Even what we consider negative emotions, God can use positively, like anger. But if it's anger at injustice or anger at something that's being done incorrectly, that can give you the motivation and the energy to do something about it. Yeah, obviously not aggressively, wiping a few people out on the way, but an anger that just gives you that sort of energy that says, we can do something about this. And it helps you to get a vision and a passion, maybe, you know, for a people group that's being downtrodden, and you become a champion of that group. And it might be actually anger that originally spurs you into that, the anger at how they're being treated. So even things which we would consider negative, if we listen to those emotions with the voice of God as well, they can become extremely positive in what we do. You say, well, I can't see how sadness can be. But even sadness can be something that, again, motivates you to do something about the situation that makes you sad. All emotions are like pain. Nobody really wants the negative, hurtful pain. But if we didn't have pain, our bodies would disintegrate around us because we wouldn't know what was going wrong or how to protect them. And often this is what fear and anxiety and what we would consider negative emotions are. It's pain that says, hang on a minute, learn from this. Let's get to being healthy again. But that's not really what I'm talking about. But it is in a way, because it's all about dare to dream. Because we dare to dream of people that are mentally healthy. You know, where we can walk in freedom from the negativity that drags us down. The wrong vowel being used there. really, anything could be said this morning. I'm only half here. And so from the beginning in the library, we had that vision that God would give us a building in the town centre, because we didn't want a traditional church building. We wanted a mission station, a place where we could help people, a place that would be a place of attraction. Because how many know we live in a culture where it's not always 24 degrees and we can walk around in shorts and t-shirts? Anybody notice that? Anybody notice that today? It was a little bit chilly. And so we can take advantage of the fact that by God's grace, we have the technology to live in warm, comfortable buildings now. You know, and we wanted that kind of a place that was right in the middle of where people go, where we could have that opportunity to say, hey, dare to dream. Look at this. Here's another way of thinking about life. It's about giving people a choice. So often people have written off the gospel because of something they think they know. You know, I have a great friend who I've been wanting for him to become a Christian for, well, I knew him at school. I wasn't a Christian then, but you know, so 30 odd years now since I was actively wanting him to be a Christian, and he's still not a Christian. I would love him to be, but at least I know I've given him a choice. I've tried to communicate something that is good, but he just doesn't want to know. He's still, if you're going anywhere in that direction, it's not that we've ever really even had a good talk about it, because he just won't. It's just, this is just a door that's shut. I don't think about things like that. That's something I don't think about. That's not part of my life. And sadly, there's quite a lot of people that are like that. They don't want to think about it because they're associated with all kinds of negative feelings, negative incidents, things that have gone wrong, things that they think they understand, and they think we're all going to be sort of wandering around loving chocolate like the Vicar of Dibley. You know? And they don't know the actual reality of this gritty, powerful man who died on a cross to enable us to live that gritty, powerful life that he's called us to. You know? And the summit is about that. It's about encountering people, not throwing the gospel down their throats. Many people come here and they probably never talk about Jesus, and that's wonderful. We want to share what we have with them, regardless. But there's also, we hope, we pray, opportunity. Why we have leaflets that, you know, in different places around the room is for you to grab hold of, to give to someone, or someone just to pick up. It's amazing how many of them do go as people take them and read. So that's why this building is here. It's not about getting people into our building because it's our church building. It's about actually putting a mission station in the middle of the people, like a beacon that says, there's something here. There's something different here. And there's some of the, you can just see in the bottom left, that was when it was a bar and snooker club. There's Riley's, I think it's still Riley's in there, a bit small on those screens. But of course, originally these were on the big screen in the library. Not that you'd have been able to see them that well because it'd have been too bright, but that's another story. And of course, there it is. We dared to dream of a building, and there we are. There's Brian in his rather tasteful orange overalls. Presumably he got them when he was in prison in America. I've never actually thought of that until that moment, Brian. There's the headline in the local newspaper, The Church for Boo Street. Absolutely, it is The Church for Boo Street. It's the church in the middle of everything. And there's a rather jolly little bunch there at the bottom who have been helping decorate. Robin's one of them. He's sneaking in over there on the sofa, but he's also now on the screen, you see, Robin. And there's Dave Thomas, now BA student. When he was intern, oh boy, did he hate decorating. He's nodding, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know. And when we were originally doing this, we were looking, there wasn't a picture of the library, but this was a little while when we were just into the summit, and so we'd just left the theatre, which is in the top right. We were doing the first events at the spa there, so that was all very exciting. And then you got that aerial view of the town. I think that is there is the summit, if you're not quite sure. That big white building is actually us. Amazing, isn't it? So you've got the town hall there, and the town hall office is there. But God is good. So, let's have a look at this. A place to meet with God. This was our vision of this building. A place to make Jesus known. A place for people to say yes to Jesus. A place that glorifies Jesus. A place for healing and miracles. A community resource, a place to belong, welcome home, and a national and international centre. Now let's go back there. Come back. Nope. Okay, don't then. I know, well, it's trying to operate it when you're sort of half drunk on... I'll go right out of it. Right, my thoroughly professional presentation. Just pretend the last few seconds didn't happen. Right, and now it's just got a picture of me and none of the statements. Excellent. All bow down to me. There they all are again, going up slowly. But I mean, I think the key there is you can see that our passion in this place is this. It's a communication of this. And that doesn't come from blue walls and grey walls and grey carpet. It comes from a people who are living in it and a people who are making it. And one of the things I've always loved, really, that God has done through that is that this building is so full of people every day. Now, it's not that all we do is centred here, and I think that's really, really important. We are looking at that today because that's what we're considering as we have the opportunity to give at the end of the meeting. But we are looking at this. We mustn't forget that the real work of the church is happening all the time, not just here, because we're not all here all the time. That's right. So my passion, my vision really is that this is great, but actually that is then happening in our lives wherever we are, in the workplace, in the shops, in our homes, and particularly in our house churches, our life teams, which are really like mini summits, you know, where you're taking hold of probably not the whole picture, because that's quite hard to do in somebody's home, but unless you're going to run a coffee shop from your front room. But, you know, you are picking up on everything, the way God is living, and using that that's upon us to communicate Jesus. Because above all else, we do want to communicate the love of God to people, and the fact that Jesus came as a saviour to live and die for them, to enable them to have a relationship again with the Father. That is at the core. You know, we do many other things. So when we go out as street angels, We don't go out to make people Christians. Even though our core is we want people to know about Jesus. You say, well, why don't we? Because we're called to love our community. And if we go out to love them, to make them Christians, we're not genuinely loving them. We are trying to control the situation to make them do something. We want them. We'd love people to ask questions. And they do. It's like all those initiatives. Youth Angels, Friday night. It's not in-your-face Christianity. It's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be, here's some real live Christians that love Jesus. Have you ever met any people like this? And the answer, you know, looking at some of the team, is definitely not. No, we have a fantastic team. And it's about getting to know people. It's about building relationship. Okay, so, now you can have that one. That was one of the pictures I changed. I put one of the more recent pictures of the worship team. It was a very old picture of the worship team, which was very lovely. But I just thought we'd have some of the people that have more recently joined the team in the front and some of the people in the back that have been there a very long time. Haven't they, Elka? That's not a bad thing, by the way. That could come across really, really bad. And a wonderful wedding that happened just after it opened. Who was that, I wonder? There's a dedication happening at the bottom there. Donna's not here today, is she? And the mayor at the top when we actually had the opening. But alongside that, then, alongside that vision to make Jesus known, are these things which are, I would say, is love your neighbour, as Jesus told us to do. Love your neighbour as yourself. These are the things that actually make the difference. So you want to be a social and economic benefit to the town. You want to make a difference to the actual fabric of the town. Do we? Absolutely. See the people that are in here and using that creche each day, meeting one another, a place for mums to go where they've got space for the pushchair, got space for the child to run around while they have a cup of coffee. Economic benefit, you know, we don't really think about that, but yes, we do. We pay into the community, we employ people that spend in the community. So even on that very sort of dry, perhaps, social and economic indicators, we do make a difference. And we should be. We want to be a positive contribution, not just spiritually, but economically. National indicators are the measures of things like violence and antisocial behaviour. And isn't it awesome that we know as a church we've brought down violent behaviour and we've affected antisocial behaviour in the community? That's a great thing, I think, to be part of that. It's not just about praying for the community, it's about praying for the community and getting off your bottoms and doing something. You know? It's not just about the worship. We were looking at Elka a minute ago in the worship team, but she also very practically been on the streets with the street angels, making an absolute practical difference. You know, if she was just lost on a keyboard in worship, she would lose the fullness of what God can do through her amazing gifts of keyboard and singing. You know, she's got something much more to give, which is connecting with people through street angels, loving the community. Sorry to pick on you. It's real pick on Elka morning, isn't it? Working in partnership with Scarborough Borough Council, North Yorkshire Police, churches together in Scarborough, etc. We always wanted to work in partnership. Remember, when this was written, it wasn't happening. Now we work in partnership with all those organisations and more in ways we didn't really expect. Helping achieve local priorities, I'm not going to dwell on that, but we've done that, the regeneration of area. And we've always wanted this being one church thing. You know, many congregations in the town, but one church. One family. And I pray that will always be something that about us that it's called kingdom building rather than focusing on just your own congregation. So that if St. Mary's is growing and having a fantastic time and great things are happening there, we're celebrating rather than feeling insecure. It's so easy for churches to feel threatened because something good is happening down the road. We don't need to be threatened. God's in control. You know, if something good is happening somewhere else, we want to celebrate it. We want to publicize it, you know. Or even if something not good is happening, that we can be in prayer for those. Which you can be in prayer for St. Mary's, because they haven't been able to appoint a new vicar there. They only had two people apply, and neither of them were felt suitable. So pray that they get that person that is God's person for that church coming in there. Because it's easy to start to give in and just take someone that comes because of the pressure of not having the key leader. So continuing to dare to dream. Street angels, youth angels, community angels, safe haven. Safe haven was one that was added to this list because we didn't dream. We didn't think of safe haven ourselves. It was a development of street angels. Targeting, now there's an unusual one in any church plan. Targeting alcohol-related crime and antisocial behaviour. That's probably not there that often, but it was something that God gave us to be part of, to make a difference. Diversionary activities for youth, active use by the community, community courses. I'm not sure we've really gone there, but we do have people like Sash and Young Carers using the building. Juliet's done a lot of stuff with young people. We've done some marriage help, but that's probably an area yet still to grow. First-class coffee lounge and play area. Remember, when that was written, we didn't have it. It was just, that's what we wanted. That's what we believe God had given us. Isn't it exciting to see? You know, and you're wanting it to grow, you're wanting it to develop, you want it to be more. A place for students and young adults. Well, when Scarborough campus was flourishing, we were full of students. We miss all those students. We loved that energy. We're still blessed by some of those students from those days being part of the church. Coventry University has opened up, so praise God. But obviously at the moment it's considerably smaller than Scarborough campus was in terms of the student numbers, although their plans are that it will be very similar to that as it grows and develops. So pray for that university. Coventry University have a really good reputation, so, and they're very confident, having spoken to some of the team up there, that the whole thing's going to grow. The building's it's very new, it's very sparkly. It looks like a great place to study, actually. And they want to keep it. They're deliberately keeping it small. Well, when I say small, 4,000 people or so is their goal, so that they can keep their groups and their lectures small. They want to keep them all no more than 30. And their vision is to have the professors and the lecturers actually knowing the students, which is... So, you know, if that's the kind of university you want, and that's a nice university, I think, that it's going to be a great place to go. Well, we've really talked about all those. There's a lovely bunch in the bottom left-hand corner. That's Nabil just there on the right. Some of you will remember Nabil. They live in Bridlington. They're a great part of the whole Street Angels team. Cavern Club got added a bit later as that grew. But, of course, if you remember, Cavern Club went on for a long time. Yeah, and look how young some of them are, Alex. You really do look young there, Alex. I thought you looked young till I saw that picture. It's the responsibility of impending fatherhood. But the others look at Cameron. Hallelujah. And the one in the top right was a new one from this year's light party. I just threw a new one in. All of these things are ways of just sharing love with the community and hoping for that opportunity. And there are people that are part of our congregation and this is how they came to know Jesus. And that's brilliant. All right. And these were the two key verses. I expect a lot of you know these quite well. If you've ever done the Discovery course, and many of you will have done the Discovery course, which is what you do when you're becoming part of Kingdom Faith. Of course, this is the presentation or something very similar that's used then. But and then we'll tell you about these because they're foundational. Before we got here, God gave me the top verse in Spain, or gave Kate Nye the verse in Spain. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run into it and they are safe. And those of you who have not been Christians a long time will think nothing of it. But when God gave it to me, I was kind of like, no, I don't want that one. Give me another one. Now you're thinking, why on earth would you? And I'll tell you why, because there was a really awful song that went with this verse. And I have been in too many awful services singing this awful song when someone would think, what a good idea, we could play a game like Oranges and Lemons with it. So Claire, just be my assistant for a minute. And so whilst this song was going on, you'd get people at the front like this. And then when you got to a certain point in the song, you would capture them. And I got quite fed up with it. the name of the Lord. No, that's how it goes. Yes, it's a catchy song. Oh, yeah, there's actions as well. You can do everything. You know, you don't just do that bit. No, I don't remember that bit. But actually, that's where God gave us the vision that this would be a place where people felt safe. And a place that people could come and be safe. Not questioned, not interrogated, not feel out of place, but just feel safe. And there's been a few highlights for me in that. One was on a Friday night talking to one of the more troubled youngsters that comes here in all sorts of trouble, all sorts of things going on in his life. 14-year-old lad. And he was telling me something that we had to follow up on and deal with. But he was telling me something. And he just said at one point, he said, the only thing I've got is here because this is my safe place. And when he said that, I remembered this verse. I mean, I didn't say to him, oh, yes, well, that's because the Lord says in Proverbs 18, verse 10. It was so encouraging just to hear that coming back. And the other place was, I've heard through our safe haven work, especially, I've heard it referred to in different places around town as a safe place. And I don't know, have you seen the safe place notice or safe haven notice on the front door? That was given to us by the police in recognition that they felt this was a place. It's you see that notice, it's somewhere you can go that's safe to get help. But that was given to us to put up. And I thought, that's exciting that when God gives you something, you think, how on earth do you make that happen? And you just get on with what you've got to do, and God does it around you. You know, I'm not saying that everybody in Scarborough thinks the summit is wonderful, but there's an awful lot of people that know it is a safe place, and it is somewhere where people will care and talk to you and listen to you and try and help you. I mean, we're not the only place. There's other great safe places. Obviously, the Rainbow Centre is a major safe place where you can get very practical help. And the other one, and I think it really does go with it, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house from Mark 2, verse 1. Because we wanted it to be gossiped on the streets that this was a place where you could meet with Jesus. Even if they think that means we're a bit freaky and a bit weird, I don't care, because we are. We do. We are. We believe in God. You know, in today's world, that's a bit odd. You know, we believe that Jesus came and died. We're pretty convinced in all the evidence that it's all true. And that makes us a little bit odd. We're in the minority. That's okay. I don't mind that. Because that's the only way people are going to know is if people hear. And what that story from is that Jesus, easily confused. Jesus is in Peter's mother-in-law's house. That's why I made the mistake. And the word's just going around the Capernaum that's where Jesus is. And so the crowds are beginning to come because they want to encounter Jesus. And it's still my passion that the word is out there, that you can meet with Jesus here. So it's not even just us that's communicating what's going on, but others are saying, did you know you can encounter Jesus at the summit? Did you know you can get healed at the summit? Did you know they will stand in prayer with you at the summit? And this is what happened to me. Because there's so many positive stories of healings and lives turned round and people suddenly getting jobs. Remarkable coincidences that seem to happen when people pray. Yeah? Excellent. Right. Talking of healing, we won't stay long on these, but they're in there because it's always been fundamental to us as a community that we want to see healing. Some healing is just something that happens because you get involved with a group of people that care for you, and others is completely miraculous. I wouldn't say that isn't miraculous. You know, there's the physical healings. The young lady, do you remember one Sunday morning, not the one at the spa, the one that happened here, with the metal in her arm that couldn't carry anything, had no strength in her arm because it was all supported with metal and you could see the metal lumps in her arm. And as she stood here for healing, I was the one that happened to be in front of her, so I was the most blessed. You saw the lumps in her arm disappear. And she was so excited because her testimony later on was that she hadn't even been able to carry a plate full of dinner So she decided that to show her friends that she lived with, because she was a student, how she'd been healed, she would go shopping with them and carry the bags for dinner home. And of course they noticed what she was doing, and she asked the questions, and she was telling them how God had healed her. You know, if she went from no strength, who cares whether the metal plates are gone or not? It looked like they went. They didn't form a puddle on the floor like the time at the spa. But what had happened for her was that she could use her arm again. It would move again. It moved around again. And she could carry the shopping and use her hand properly. It was, I think, her left hand. I can't remember. So from the miraculous to the... And also just, I touched on it earlier, mental health. There's so many problems with fear and anxiety and overstressed and can't cope with life. And really, we just want people to come here and find that peace that comes from knowing God, you know, and gives you the ability to overcome that stuff. If you've never suffered from fear and anxiety, it can look like someone that does is like weak. You know, you feel like, well, just do your boots up a bit tighter and stand up straight and you'll be fine. But that's like saying somebody who's had a heart attack and is lying on the floor, look, it's all in your mind. It's nothing really, it's just a bit of pain, get up. Because both of them are physical. One's in the heart and one's in the brain. It's just they manifest differently. Okay, here's a good verse. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 7. Remember this. This is Paul talking to the Christians in Corinth. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what they've decided in their heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You've probably, I often ask Brian to do offerings, but if you hear me do an offering, quite often I will say, don't feel under compulsion. This is why. Nobody should ever feel pressured or manipulated or controlled into giving. And it's difficult because you want to communicate something passionately. But I certainly don't want to be controlling you by getting you all excited and passionate about, yeah, I'm going to give into that. Because actually we want to respond to what the Holy Spirit's telling us to do. And it's not about how much you give, it's about giving what God says give. Yeah, and that's what we will do in a few moments. But it is true. Here it is, and it's been abused by prosperity preachers, particularly, sadly, from some American preachers. It's been abused, but it is still in the scriptures that if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, and if you sow generously, you will reap generously. That is scriptural. It's in all sorts of things. It's not just money, although here Paul was specifically talking about money, but the kingdom principle applies to everything you do. If you are a generous person, you will reap generosity. It's true, isn't it? If you will give of your time generously, you will reap back from the giving of that time in rewards that I don't know. It could be God, you don't always get back what you give. God gives back in an amazing way. You might give money and God gives you a wonderful surprise. You might give your time and God does give you money. But this is the way he works. He will never, you can't outgive him. You know, but if you're in fear and trepidation, then you have to do two things. You either have to get to the point of, no, I can trust God in this, or don't give, because you don't give out of fear. You have to give out of that generous, this is God doing this. I'm sowing into everything we've touched on today. And I know many of you have seen these slides before. I hope that you haven't felt like, oh, we've done all this before, because we will... Although we're not doing it in this way again, we'll always be touching on this because it's kind of our foundation. It's our heritage. These scriptures are always going to be key. And if anything, something that I don't teach on enough is giving, because I find it quite embarrassing. You feel like one of those American preachers. You know, you feel like you're trying to wring money out of people. But actually... It's wrong never to teach it, because there comes a freedom from being obedient to God. But don't feel compelled today, I must put something in, because everybody's supposed to put something in. No, they're not. It's between you and Him. And especially if you're a visitor this morning, you're not, this is our giving into the summit. Not trying to get money out of you at all. But if you want to give into what happens, please do. And practically, Brian mentioned it earlier, don't forget these envelopes. I expect most of you have already taken one, so by now, because they were in the bucket earlier when they came round. But if you didn't, these are the envelopes you can use. If you're a taxpayer and you don't mind allowing us to claim back the tax you've already paid, it makes a huge difference to us, to our income each year. I can't really remember off the top of my head, but how much would you say comes into this in tax recovered? About 14,000, so it does make a big difference. That's somebody employed and on the team. You know, that's making a difference because we've given employment to a person who's making a difference here at the summit. You know? Isn't that brilliant? So if you need one of these, Peter, have you got them there? They'll be in the bucket when they come round, but sometimes I know people feel awkward because you feel like you're holding everything up. But so, mind you, this way you feel embarrassed because you're having to publicly declare it, so you can't really win. But if there's anybody would like an envelope, Peter's got some, so raise a hand and he'll come and give them to you. I expect a lot of you may well have taken one. So, anyone? Well, I hope that's because you have taken them. Right, let's wind this to the end. Here is the full Dare to Dream vision. No, it's half of it, actually. It's two slides. We dare to dream about the excitement and adventure that God has set before us of being a church where people are loved, accepted, and restored. There it is. Right from the very beginning, we want to be a people where you can find acceptance. You might be an atheist. You might be a Hindu. You might be a Christian. You might be of any kind of sexuality, any kind of belief, but we pray that you'll find unconditional love in this place and acceptance. We'll want to share the goodness of what it is to know Jesus, and we're not going to compromise. We believe it is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. But we respect every person that comes here, their free choice. That's important, isn't it? Where the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lonely find friendship. We dare to dream of a church that is growing week by week as people are impacted by the truth. You know, I've never corrected that. Every time I do this, I think, oh yeah, I must change that. It says impacted but the truth. Experience the power of the Holy Spirit and see miracles happening. I really should change that. It's been there now 9 years. And here's the rest. We see a church. So when you say in Christian terms, you can do this in prayer as well. You know, when you say, I see, what you're doing is you're talking about what you're kind of using your imagination, your anointed imagination. The buzzword is missional imagination. But what you're doing is you're seeing what God could be, what God is doing, or what you see God is doing, and you're speaking it out because the world was created with words. And when we speak over our children, if you constantly reinforce that they're horrible, you create that a feeling in that child that they're horrible. The words are used for negative and positive. So we speak the positive of what we see. So when you're praying, you can use exactly the same language. I see a church that is part of transforming society. So that's a bit of a big vision for a small church. Yeah, but I have a very big God. We see a church that is part of transforming society. Oh, I missed out a church that is full of... I missed it all out. We see a church that equips, trains and disciples people. A church that is full of God's love, where the tangible presence of God is known and experienced. That's so important to us. That capacity to meet with God in worship. But not just worship, in our homes. We see a church that is part of transforming society that brings honor and glory to Jesus Christ. You know, what brings God glory? What brings honor to Jesus? A people who are obedient to Him and living the life He's called us to live and therefore are fruitful. A people that love one another. And do you know what? It says here. We also dare to dream of a church that is just great fun to be part of. I mean, there's a mandate as well given to us by Dr. James Maloney, a well-known prophet, man of God in America. But that was the original dare to dream as we gathered it together, believing what God said to us and wrote it all down. It's not a very trendy vision. Trendy visions are supposed to be something really short and sharp that everybody can remember. Nobody remembers all of this. Even I don't remember it all. I suppose I could sit down and memorize it, but you look it up on the internet. You look it up because you've written it down on your phone and you remember the fact that it's all summarized in Dare to Dream. You know, because the good thing about Dare to Dream is it's not limited. As soon as you expand it like this, you've actually limited it in some way. You might think you've expanded it, but actually you're restricting the areas in which people dream. So sometimes it is good just to talk Dare to Dream. Dare to dream about what can happen in your life as God lives through you. You know, some people have gone through difficult divorces. Some people have gone through incidents of being addicted to alcohol. Maybe you're even still going through that. But when you capture the dare to dream, you realize you are going to get out of it. You are not stuck there. You are not stuck in rejection. You're not stuck in that feeling of self-worthlessness that comes when something's all gone wrong. There's a way out. There is a hope. There is a purpose. There is a call. There is a destiny on every single person. It's not the Disney theology of everybody can be whatever they want to be. That's rubbish. But it is everybody can be the amazing thing that God has called them to be. That's spot on. So that's Dare to Dream. And there we all are, standing together. Which one's Ron?
Good-looking one.
The good-looking one. There is one with a pink top on.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, private joke. Okay, let's invite the worship team to come forward. And let's just worship the Lord, and we'll take some time to take up this offering. But as you give, yeah, you can flip it back now, Dave. As you give, remember you're sowing. There's no point giving with no expectation and no faith. You're just wasting your time. Let's give with faith. Let's give with expectation. The word says, if I sow generously, I will reap generously. So thank you, Jesus. I am sowing what you have given me to give today. And remember, it's not about quantity. I appreciate that some of us are in really difficult positions. That's irrelevant. It's, what has God given me to do today? Small or large is not important. It's what you do before God. Amen? Now let's all stand. Some of you may have already given, of course. I know that we started the week of offerings last week. We didn't spend much time on it because it was Remembrance Sunday and it seemed inappropriate. So we've concentrated on it today at the end instead. Hallelujah. But so if you've given something at another time, just imagining it. Imagine it in your hands right now. Or if you've done it electronically, imagining it right now in your hand. Hallelujah. And just hold what you're going to give before God. Because he can multiply what you give beyond your wildest imaginings. The great thing about the loaves and the fishes is that the offering was ridiculous. But the results were incredible. Because Jesus took them and broke them and multiplied them. And that's what he does. He takes what you give and multiplies it. And that boy that brought the lunch, he lost his lunch completely. He had nothing left after he'd given it. And yet by the time it was finished, there was 12 basketfuls of the stuff. He had far more than he could have possibly dreamed about. So just hold it before God, your gift. And thank God that you are privileged to be in a position of being able to sow. Thank God that you've got provision into your life. That this morning you can give £1, £10, £100, £1,000, £10,000. It doesn't matter what you're giving, you're sowing by faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God must have done something in me. I've never spoken so long on money. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we want to honor you right now as we stand before you. We want to honor every person in this place that's standing before you now. Whatever they're doing before you, we trust that they're hearing from you. And Father, let no person, especially any guest, feel under compulsion through social pressure to put something in. There'll be plenty of people not putting something in. They might have given already. They might not be giving. So don't feel under kind of social pressure or under pressure because of what I've said. It's about what you believe God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So hold that before and imagine it when you put it in that bucket, it's seed going into the ground that's going to bear a harvest. That God will multiply it far beyond what you could have imagined could happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.